The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray. I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Thank you for empowering me.
Here's what I think is going on.
I think you're a hoot and a half.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
I just love your show.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are really smart.
I am sensitive and understanding and nurturing.
Your show to me is like a comedy information show.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
You'll be a little nervous doing the show today. I got a meeting with Al Cresta. Yeah, I think he's upset about something. Well, I don't think it's that big a deal, but the lady that said in this little bumper rotation, I'm sure I'm going to get really great advice from you. That wasn't from my program. Okay, I'll confess, we plagiarized it from Al's. He found out about it. I don't know. But if I didn't plagiarize from his program, I wouldn't have any of those kinds of things. I hope he understands that. He's a pretty reasonable fellow. Good to have you with me here, Dr. Ray Guarendi. You and I get a chance to talk a little bit. Well, you talk a little bit. I talk a lot. The program number is 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Let me scroll this down because I'm seeing nothing here. Where is it? What am I missing? All right. Would I push F5? Is that what I got to do to see this? See nothing. Okay. Program is a call-in program. We have multiple lines. You can call in with questions about your situation, circumstances, whatever you would find troublesome or something you want to help somebody else out with, anything like that, the continuum of the human condition. I was in the office this morning. Good Lord permitting, I'll be in the office again Thursday, seeing folks, real live folks. We don't do therapy here, but we can maybe help a little bit, give a thought, something. The ripple effect is what we operate on here. Give you a good thought, you take the thought, you run with it, and then it has effects throughout a whole bunch of other places in your life, your family, your kids. We really don't have too many limits on what you can call in about. We truly don't. It's not like, okay, this is potty training day. This is Alzheimer's day. No. We run the gamut of the human condition. It can be specific. It can be generic. Anything you would like. 877-573-7825. I am not a computer whiz. So I don't know what is going on with my computer here. I got a call. On the break, I'll have a chance to call my 7-year-old nephew. He'll know how this works. Somebody will come into my office, usually a parent, sometimes a grandparent, every so often kind of a relative of some type, but come into my office because the particular child in their care, or the child that they're raising, has this symptom that has distressed the parent, the grandparent. Maybe the child is becoming more anxious. Maybe the child is starting to resist activities that he formerly liked. You know, he doesn't want to go to swim class anymore. Perhaps the child is becoming more discontent, more just agitated, unpleasantly so. And so this psychologically looking stuff is what brings the adults to my office. They think that's the core of the problem. We talk, we probe a little bit, find out what's happening. I don't know the exact percentage, but it's way up there. It's well over 50%. That as we talk, as we search for details, as we try to put the pieces of the puzzle all together, a good percentage of the time, I find that there is a lot of discipline problems. the parent is flummoxed, confused, frustrated, defeated by this child's behavior. However, they looked at the discipline problem as less serious than the psychological-looking problem, the anxiety or the discontent or the low level of agitation, or sometimes, in some cases, even fears that have come out of nowhere, or the kid doesn't want to go to school anymore. Well, I mean, that used to be a situation. Now it's the grown-ups who don't want the kids in school anymore. So we focus on the discipline issues, and we find out they're big. They're pervasive. They're every day. This is not a settled, pleasant interaction much of the time between the parent and the kid. I don't say this to the client. It's a little too blunt. But what do we expect? If the situation is one of chronic agitation because the big person and the little person are butting heads. And by the way, when we butt heads with a little kid, more often than not, we're getting down on his level and butting heads, because grown-ups have so much more leverage, rationality, authority to use than to butt heads with a kid. Granted, some kids try to butt heads with us, but to the degree we butt heads less back, we'll be more calmly in charge. So that as an aside. We focus on what's going on with the parent and the child. I try to reassure the parent that let's see what happens with this supposed anxiety or this fear or this quirkiness that maybe the child developed. And you see quirks a lot more in the younger kids, the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old kids. They develop quirks, oddities, habits and things. So, for example, all of a sudden at age 7, he doesn't want to sleep in his room anymore because he's scared. Okay, now that could be an isolated fear that just happens with age. That can be. But the overall picture is one of defiance and opposition and difficulty. And the parent doesn't feel real confident in dealing with it. So there's a lot of fighting going on, a lot of arguing, a lot of frustration between parent and child. And the quirks develop. And the emotions develop. Anxiety, discontent, agitation. Fears develop. Things that are byproducts of the authority problem. But that byproduct is what brought the parent to my office, because they were more afraid of the byproduct than the discipline problem, which is at the base of much of this. And in fact, if we can get the discipline picture to smooth out, if we can get the parent more in charge, calmly, confidently in charge, it spreads. What do I mean by that? Not only is there far less agitation at home, but the quirks, the oddities, the quote-unquote psychological-looking byproducts slip away. They go away. How can that be? We didn't deal with the problem itself. Well, what we did do, though, is we dealt with the problem that was fueling it. It is not unusual for a kid and a parent to be in a pretty consistent state of discipline agitation to not have it affect the personality of the kid and the parent in other ways, in unanticipated ways. That's not unusual. But because our culture is so over-psychologized, we look at this neurotic-looking behavior, this psychology imbalance type of behavior, and we think that's the thing that needs our focus, our priority. And we find out, no, there's much broader issue that needs our focus, and let's see what it does to the byproducts once we get it under control. 877-573-5735. 7825. I'm Dr. Ray.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Told us in psychology school that so much was in the appearance. You got to look professional. That's why the doctors wear the white coats, and they got the stethoscopes hanging around their necks. Well, I've decided I can't look professional here on radio, so I've got to work on other areas where I sound professional. And that's difficult to do if I have to work on vocabulary and insight and expertise. That's a lot harder. But I think the accent is probably the quickest way.
Well, I think there is a loose apple in the stool.
If I can get that accent down in most of the people I respond to, I think I'm going to sound about 15 points higher. Anthony is calling from Colorado. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Dr. A.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you for your ministry. I really appreciate it.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I was just calling. I've been struggling with an addiction to pornography for all my adult life. I'm in my mid-30s. Gotten a lot better at it, trying to fight it on my own, but wanted to see what your advice was if I need to take a different route.
How bad do you want to pull out of it?
Very bad.
Really, really bad? Like more bad than anything you've wanted in your life?
Great question. I would say so. I think so.
Well, Anthony, why would you want to? I mean, what the heck? The culture says it's a victimless crime. So this is your own little dark pleasure. Why would you want to pull out of it? What's moving you?
I was raised Catholic, so I have morals. I know it's wrong.
Okay. So you have you slowly come to this realization, or you knew it 15 years ago, but you just kept yielding to it?
I think you can get wrapped up in your surrounding society and other people saying it's okay, you know? And
so
you start rationalizing that you don't think it's as bad as...
Okay. So there for a while, you did reflect the cultural view, and now you've come to realize not only is the cultural view terribly skewed, but leaving aside the moral issue, which is the biggest one for you, as it should be, the other issues are what it does for your view of women. If you're married, oh my, what would it do to your poor wife if she discovered this? And on and on. The ramifications of it, because sexuality is such a powerful gift of God, the ramifications of misusing it are huge, right?
Yes.
Okay. What have you done practically to make your touching on pornography harder? You can't get to it. What have you done practically?
Try to work on my faith and my spiritual life.
Okay, so you haven't gotten rid of your computer, and you haven't gotten a flip phone with no internet.
No.
Why not?
I guess there are a lot of other things that I use the phone for that you couldn't use a flip phone for.
A lot of other things. Your career?
Yeah, I guess that's part of it. Are you suggesting that all access to any type of video or internet is the
first step
route I have to go?
If you say to me that it's the most important thing right now for you to conquer, if you say that, that's your words, not mine. And if you were worried that you're jeopardizing your soul, that hell is just not worth this, then it would seem to me that the very first step would be to eliminate the avenues that you can surreptitiously partake. And then... there are some wonderful, wonderful places to go. Matt Fradd, F-R-A-A-D, has good material mm-hmm. through Catholic Answers. Who else am I thinking of here? Jason Everett. No, Fradd's independent. I'm sorry, I confused that. But Everett, I believe, it's Everett. But they're definitely the main person over in Catholic Answers. So you go there, and they have a lot of stuff to help you. But the question always becomes, Anthony, and that's why I asked that question first, how much do you want to conquer this? Is it one of these things where, yeah, you feel wretched after you partake, and then you settle down, and a week or two later you go back? I mean, you have to decide. I don't want to do this to my soul or myself anymore, no matter what. I don't want to do it. That's the first step. For all those who say, yeah, it's an addiction and it alters brain chemistry, all of that. But your first step is using the good part of your brain, augmented by God's grace, to say, I want more than anything else in my life to step away from this. And the longer I can, the easier it will be. I admire your desire to do it, Anthony. Ask God for strength, which I'm sure you've done many, 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 many times. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. Cindy is calling. Cindy, you're going to have to narrow. That's a broad word. That is really a broad word.
Sure. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just like sudden realization or sudden these moments where you just have these.
Talking about yourself? A self
epiphany? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's day to day, and it'll kind of just the sudden realization, and then it'll kind of fade, and then it'll kind of come back.
Does somebody give it to you? Does somebody give you this realization? Or do you, you're doing your natural thinking process, and all of a sudden insight pops into your head?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
What do you do with the insight?
That's what I'm wondering about. Is this possible? Is it, am I imagining things?
Well, if you don't act on the insight, it's just a nice little intellectual exercise.
Okay.
You know, it's like someone who says, yeah, I know what I'm like. I know I'm arrogant. I know I'm obnoxious. But then they just stop there. Now, they've had the epiphany, but they stopped. The epiphany's not going to do you any good unless you translate it into action. But I will tell you this, though. Working on a new book, and one of the things I'm talking about is this self-insight thing. And you got to have it. If you are going to spiritually mature, you can't do it without your epiphany. Some people call it insight. You can't do it because you don't even know what you need to improve. I don't know what I don't know. What is keeping you, and I can surmise an answer to this, what is keeping you during those times when you don't act or start the motion of acting on an epiphany? What stops you? Laziness? It just fades away with time? I don't like doing this because it requires too deep a change in who I am? What is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, if you come to the inside of, I guess that's the way I am, or, gee, I do that, don't I? Do you stop there and you just simply say, I'll just accept that as part of my personal flaws. You know, hey, come on, we're all sinners here, you know, we're all imperfect, not a problem.
Yeah.
If you stop there, you better tell God, hey, would you kind of smack me upside the head here? Because what good is looking at myself without doing anything about it? It's meaningless. I use this example. I say, okay, why do you smoke? Well, I know exactly why I smoke. Bah, 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 bah. Well, 4 for 4. You're right on all 4 reasons. Okay, now what? You want to quit or don't you? Well, I mean, I'm realizing why I do it. You know, I realize that. But without action, epiphany just kind of hangs in air, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was your question, really. Not what is an epiphany, but what good is an epiphany?
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Ray. Yep, you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
877-573-7825. You can call anytime during the program, and you're pretty close to have an equal chance of getting on. I think there's just this mindset that whenever you call. Now, that might work with someone who, it's an informational program, and there's a bevy of questions regarding something in Scripture or something in Christian history or something involving a current event as it relates to our Catholic faith. Those you can generally move in a bit of an order on those, but when you're talking personal, emotional, behavioral types of matters, a lot of it depends upon what the question is, what's going on, when we dealt with it. 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God.
But I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What will eternal happiness, beatitude, be like? St. Augustine has a pleasant description. There we shall rest and see. We shall see and love. We shall love and praise. What will be at the end without end? For what other end do we have, if not to reach the kingdom which has no end? The Catechism tells us, God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve Him, and be with Him forever in heaven. The Beatitudes present us with clear moral choices. We are invited to avoid evil, to purify our hearts of evil, and to love God above all earthly things, none of which can bring lasting happiness. Lasting happiness can be found only in God, who is the source of every good and all love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Oh, I love that kind of smoking organ. Whew. Hear that sound? That's the old Hammond sound, B3, A100. That sound was because of tubes, which they don't use in organ instruments anymore, but that's what gives the Hammond that distinct sound that became very, very popular. All righty, we'll get to your phones here. 877-573-7825 before I go to Jessica. Good Lord permitting, I will be visiting Raymond Arroyo on the world over Thursday night. Talked with Raymond about not only my own, but many other professionals, especially those in the child professional area, coming out and saying, we have created a culture-wide pandemic of fear in our children by not giving them and the adults around them the actual statistics, the actual risks. And this has really hit kids hard. Hard, hard, hard. So I'll be talking with Ray about that. Jessica from Texas. Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
I'm happy to be on there. I'm happy to be calling. I'm surprised
Here's the thing. I've heard, now this is just rumor, but I've heard that sometimes I can be the penance, that the people will call here and say, yeah, I was told I have to listen to you for an hour. And then they usually say something like, I'm not that bad.
Well, I don't judge people. I just talk.
So, Jess, what is this question about your penance?
Well, I didn't completely get it done because of my, childish ignorance. And so I just ignored it. I didn't follow through. So it has been bothering me for quite some time.
When you say you ignored it, did you just have the attitude of, I don't want to do it, so therefore I keep putting it off?
Well, I did some of it, and then I felt like that it wasn't really of any value at that moment because I was young and dumb. And so I didn't pay much attention to going through and seeing it through all the way and finishing out my prayers. And so I just ignored it.
Why haven't you done
it later in my years?
All right. So why don't you do it now?
Well, I haven't been to confession, so I'm afraid to go to confession and then
why you Jessica
I didn't finish it.
You go to confession, you're gonna slap you around?
Well, he may chew me out for not going for the first time and finishing it out on my penance.
The vast majority of priests are going to be very, very good in the confessional. They don't slap people around and say, "You wretched little pagan! You realize that you've been living in sin for the last 34 years." It's very simple. The church has open armed mercy. You go to confession.
Well, thank you.
You tell the priest, "Hey, Father, here's what I did. I just was lazy and dumb about it, and I didn't finish my penance. So I want to confess that, and I will have full resolve to finish up that penance and whatever penance, of course, you give me. And I'll bet you can call me back and tell me how wrong I was. But I'll tell you what, though. If I'm right and you call me back, you're going to have to give at least $10 to your local affiliate. Because
okay.
he's going to tell you. I guarantee you what he's going to say. He's going to say, that's so nice. So nice that you're back to confession. And that's wonderful. And all you have to do to make it right is just finish up your penance. And then, you know what he might say? Who gave you this brilliant advice? Now, you don't have to mention my whole name or my Social Security number. But just say some dude on the radio.
I sure will.
Jess, if you go back now, you call me immediately and let me know, please.
I sure will. Thank you.
I'm glad. Thanks, Jessica. Well, you know, a lot of people, when a priest gives them penance, they have to listen to me for an hour. That scares them. It really does. I wonder how many of them have struggled with that penance. Hmm? Like get a half an hour through listening to me. By the way, I have. You think I'm joking? I have had that happen. I have. Maria. No, he hasn't. Andrew, my producer man, says, has the priest ever told you to listen to you? I've never been that bad in confession. I mean, I've had to pray the rosary in Aramaic, kneeling on broken glass with only 10 seconds in between time to levitate. I have had that one, but never having to listen to me continuously. Maria from San Antonio, Texas. This is so sadly routine that the grandparents are saying, "I'm just watching my children ignore the faith when it comes to raising their own children." Hi, Maria. How are you?
Hi, doing all right. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And yeah, that's the issue where I don't know. You know, my daughter considers herself Catholic, and yeah, she tries to do her best, although she's not attending church. So when I have my grandson, which is seldom, I do take him to church, but then he's almost five, and he behaves overall in church okay. But it's just, you know, for saying prayers, he doesn't know anything. So I try to pray with him, but then he refuses. He is like, doesn't even want to do the sign of the cross. He, you know, I do it for him. I end up doing it for him. I tell him to pray to our mother. And I have an image where we pray, but, you know, he doesn't respond. And that's sad because, it just breaks my heart. I don't know how can I, you know, teach him about that, about our faith, about prayer, if I don't see him.
Maria, how often do you see him?
Well, at least once a month we try to see, you know, to either go there because they live 3 hours away or they'll come visit. But they stay only for one day. It's only one day, maybe overnight, one weekend, and that's it. So.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get shut down here by the hard break coming up here in a matter of 30 seconds. So you stay right there. And we'll talk about the two levels to your question, really. The one level is, what can I do if my five-year-old grandson doesn't want to hear or be part of anything I would have to say to him about religion? Okay, that's the first question. And then the other question is there any way to get through to my daughter to help her understand that this is really, really important if it's real? If it's real, it's everything. If it's not real, it's nothing. So you stay right there, because that music is just about to kick in 3 seconds ago. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Get onto the program. Love to hear from you. Typically, in the summertime, the caller volume is lowered because people are out and about, or at least they used to be. And so if you want to call, you've got a chance of getting heard.
Call to Communion.
Through Edmonton Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
The breadth of power that liberal governors such as Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, Andrew Cuomo in New York, seek to wield against private citizens during this current pandemic is frightening. Contrary to their views, our federal constitutional rights don't go away in an emergency. These governors feel only a nominal constraint by our Constitution, as evidenced by the restrictions they have imposed on our liberty. Under the banner of public health, they believe that their power is plenary and that the Constitution has little role, if any, in curtailing that power. They are mistaken. Indeed, there is no pandemic exception to the fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. If the courts, and more importantly, we the people who ultimately control the fate of these politicians at the ballot box, were to simply accept the governor's actions and acquiesce to their power grab, then it is the fiat of the governors and not the Constitution that is the supreme law of the land. We aren't willing to surrender our freedoms so easily. We filed multiple federal civil rights lawsuits against both governors in federal courts in Michigan and New York. In the final analysis, if we don't demand our God-given inalienable rights, then they will be lost. Fight for freedom or lose it. It's that simple. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Fixated in the oral stage. A little Freudian lingo there. Yeah, that's what Freud said. If you didn't solve your psychic conflict from your oral stage, you tended to gravitate towards things that use the mouth. Yeah, what uses the mouth more than talking on the radio? Well, if you're a parent, you know. I'm talking to Maria. She's calling from Texas. They live about 3 hours from her daughter, and there's a five-year-old grandson in the picture. And Marie would so very much like to teach her grandson about the faith and about the matters of the faith and the reality of the faith. But Maria says that her daughter is a little indifferent toward the faith. Still there, Maria?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When your grandson refuses you, I think you're perfectly within your rights to say, well, you know what, honey? It's real important, because God loves you so very, very much, and you have to be respectful to him more than anybody. So if you don't want to make the sign of the cross and you don't want to pray with me, I'm afraid I'm not gonna give you some privileges that you want until you do. Now, some might say, oh, come on, Dr. Ray, what is that, some kind of coercion? No, it's teaching a five-year-old this is really, really important. Like anything else, like eat your vegetables, like don't run into the street. This is really important. And I'm not going to give you the five-year-old leeway to say, I don't want it. Because you wouldn't give him the leeway to eat his vegetables. You wouldn't give him the leeway to run into the street if he wants. You wouldn't give him the leeway to go out on a winter day. Well, Texas, you don't have winter days. But live where I live, a winter day in your bare feet. I'm not going to give you that leeway. You're 5 years old. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is that you can probably send him things. You know, my wife does. My son is raising his little daughter with his wife very, very faithfully. But we send little prayer books, little picture books, maybe a crucifix for his room. Just little things like that enter God into his life. He doesn't know what they mean, but maybe mom will put the crucifix up. Or guardian angel picture or statue of the Blessed Virgin. Just anything to say, okay, just want to gently remind you this stuff is real. This stuff is real.
Okay.
If your daughter is open, you can ask her. You can say, is there anything keeping you from going to church? Anything keeping you from taking your son to church? Just assuming she's not going to get mad at you for asking that. That you're butting in, you know, giving her your opinion. But if she's willing, I have a book that might help you. Well, actually, okay. two that might help you. One is called When Faith Causes Family Friction. And I talk a lot about grandparents who are saying, what do I do? I'm watching my kid raise his or her kid away from the faith. What can I do? Where's my power? Do I have any? Okay, so that's in that book. Mm-hmm. And then the other book is called Being a Grandparent, Just Like Being a Parent, Only Different. Now, both of those, the Family Friction book came out about 7 years ago, the grandparent book about three. Those are both on my website, the bookstore there. They're all signed. Everything on the website is signed. So okay. Hopefully that'll give you some pointers on what you might be able to do. More than I can give you here in 3 minutes, you know?
All right.
All righty. Thank you, dear. That. Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Rick.
You're welcome, Maria. Thank you. Speaking of, my wife brought up a good point. I had an email of a grandmother who was talking about this grandchild doing certain things, very specific type things. And I wrote back and I said, this particular book, Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime, deals directly with your question and other ways for calm, confident discipline. Well, I got a letter back from the same person saying, I thought I'd get more help than just buy my book. Now, see, I'm torn on stuff like that because I don't like to say, okay, I got a book, go buy it. I don't like doing that at all. But the problem is, given this venue and given an email venue and even given the TV venue, this is all very short time limited suggestions. And if somebody is calling and saying, here's my situation, and I have a book that deals in detail with that situation, that gives a lot of stuff that would take me 2-3 hours to give them, if I were sitting here talking, no, more than 2-3 hours, the book, I would think that would be my best suggestion. It's not a matter of, hey, I want to make some money off of you. Nothing like that. And I do recommend books here much more than I wanted to. I remember some people have commented and said, I didn't even know you had a new book. You didn't say anything about it. I go, yeah, I know. It's just, I don't know, it sticks with me. I don't, it's hard. But I still do it. Because if I think it's going to help somebody a lot more than anything I could say in 3.5 minutes, or any email that I could write back in 4 sentences, because I get hundreds of emails a month, and you there's no way you can sit down and answer them in depth. It's just, that just cannot be. Then I'm going to do it. So there, 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. I would very much, very much like to hear from you. And remember, doesn't matter if you call late, you still got a pretty good chance, depending on your question, to get hoid.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me. Physicists are looking for a theory of everything that would unite all the laws and forces of the universe. But when we talk about how the universe is run by laws, we equivocate, for there are two kinds. There are the physical laws that we call natural laws. These describe what is, and people generally don't have a choice but to obey them. On the other hand, laws that govern human behavior are called moral laws, the oughts and the ought nots, from which people pick and choose. Now, while stealing is an ought not, the consequences of stealing often fall under what is. And while gravity describes what is, ignoring it is an ought not. Do you suppose such laws have something to do with the theory of everything scientists search for? While we don't understand everything, be assured, God does. At AveMariaRadio.net under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Grindy. Thank you for your company. Thank Andrew Krucek for his board operating and his production management and call screaming. Marcella. That's a beautiful name, Marcella. If I had my baby name book here with me, I could find out what it means real quick, but I can't find that book. Hi, Marcella. How are you?
I am desperate, but thank you for taking my call.
Desperate?
I am. I have to RSVP to a wedding that's coming up in a month and a half. And my heart says don't do it. I should say my mind says don't do it, but my heart says you better if you want to see the grandkids. So I need some help.
Do you think your daughter would write you out of her life if you didn't go?
Well, I don't think so, but if I say, you know, I can't go because this is not a valid marriage and I can't celebrate with you because I don't think it's right, then I suppose every mother thinks that that's a possibility. You know, if you can't come to my wedding, then you shouldn't come to my home at all ever. I don't know.
Has your daughter
involved?
Has she renounced her Catholic faith?
She has not. She has not. Her ex-husband has remarried a couple of years ago, and now she's getting remarried. They're both Catholic. I don't know what he's doing, but there are four children involved. I am the confirmation sponsor for the two oldest daughters or granddaughters, and I'm just at a quandary. I've got an RSVP, and I don't know what to say.
I'm no theologian.
I think she knows how I feel, but I just don't know what to do.
Where I have talked to priests about this, I've heard differing perspectives. One is, under no circumstances do you go to a wedding of someone who proclaims themselves Catholic but just acts totally counter to the church's teaching. The other is that you weigh how much total damage it'll do to the relationship and the possible ugly repercussions. And if you in good faith come to the conclusion this would be devastating to the relationship, and I would lose pretty much all ability to ever influence them toward seeking the faith in this, then you go. Now, talk to your priest, see what he says. But you could tell your daughter, you know, obviously, there might be part of the wedding where they want you to be walked down the aisle and sat in front, right? You're the last person, you're the mom, here comes the usher, he's taking you all the way up front, right before the bride. You might say, I just want to quietly sit in back. And tell your daughter, I love you very much. You know my deepest held beliefs on this. I'm not going to judge the state of your soul, obviously, but you're definitely going against everything you said you believed in. So if it's a month and a half from now, there's no way she's going to reconsider anything. There's no way she's going to explore her first marriage to see if it was possibly a candidate for an annulment. She wouldn't do that. I had a pastor tell a Catholic priest, you know, you Catholics, don't ever change your teaching on divorce and remarriage, because we're getting all kinds of converts from you people because of that.
Right.
And that's probably the number one reason why people, by adults maybe, just leave
right.
either leave the church or reconstruct the church in their own moral image. I'm Catholic, but not in this. I don't care what the church teaches on this.
Right.
So as long as your daughter knows, Marcella, I think, how you believe this, I would guess that there would be those priests who would tell you, really weigh how much absolute damage it would do to the relationship and your ability to see those four children.
Right.
You know, the reason I asked if your daughter had renounced her faith is that if she lets the bishop know, if she would write a letter to the bishop and say, I am no longer Catholic, then at that point, she is essentially saying, I'm no longer following the Catholic teachings on this. So you would have a little more leeway in going. It's like going to a Protestant friend's wedding who's getting remarried, but the Protestant particular denomination at all doesn't teach that divorce is wrong, so you can't remarry. They may teach us wrong, but they don't say you can't remarry. So in that sense, they're not bound by Catholic teaching. And your daughter wouldn't be bound if she wrote the bishop and said, hey, I'm not really Catholic anymore, and I don't want to be Catholic. But she didn't do that. So she kind of put you in a real sticky situation. I had a similar situation with my own daughter. I did. She did something, and I thought she wanted me to come to her wedding and stand up for her. And I was just preparing to tell her I can't do that. And then she informed me that, in fact, she had gotten her marriage blessed. So I dodged the bullet on that one.
Oh, boy, yeah. But I don't know, is that worse if she denounces her Catholicism and then takes the kids with her? I don't know what I'd do then.
Yeah, I know. And you're not telling her to do that. You were going to. That's why I asked. If she, in effect, had said, I'm no longer Catholic, then you just tell her, please write the bishop and tell him you're not.
Oh.
See?
Okay.
I'm not saying go to her and say, look, I can go to your wedding. You just send a letter to the bishop here. Give me an excuse for my doctor.
Okay.
You know what, Marcella? I cannot tell you how much this is happening with young adults who have long left the faith in massive, massive numbers. And like our previous call, the grandkids are not being raised with any kind of faith. That is just so now pervasive. It's never, ever happened before in religious history where you had that percentage of children leave the way they were raised. It just wasn't. Now it is, because the culture is so good at teaching them otherwise. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the call. Good luck. Be at peace.
Thanks.
Be at peace.
All right.
All righty. Bye. Oh, I got in trouble. Did you hear that? I got in trouble. I can't believe I did this. I said, thank you, dear. Did you hear that? Oh, what a wretch. You know that? To call somebody a nice term, which at one time was in our culture very nice. It was a nice term. And then somehow it got defined. It got defined as, what, trivializing, demeaning? I don't know. But, you know, they just defined it. Who's they? Walk with God. Got kids. Hold them tight by the hand. And then you can all be connected to God's hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.